So good to be here with you this morning. You can be making your way to Luke, the 10th chapter, Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read that text in just a few moments. I appreciate Jeff's introduction. I've gotten to know Jeff in the last few years and really enjoyed getting to know him. And just a good example. I spent some time around him in Florida a little bit and some other places. And I know that you're glad to have him here. It's been so good to be reacquainted with some of you and to meet some of you for the first time. We've really enjoyed that and appreciate the nice welcome that you've given us yesterday and today. I look forward to talking to some of you more as the day goes on. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Begin reading in Luke chapter 10. I want to get some context here. We're going to look at the last part of the chapter, but I want to begin reading with a story you're very familiar with in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This morning I want to talk about making choices, making good choices. In fact, first time I talked about this was actually with a college group in my home. Some of the college kids came over, and I thought, what would be a good thing to discuss with them? And I had heard Ralph Walker, I'm going to give some credit here on a few different things. I heard Ralph Walker preach a sermon that had to do with making good choices or making better choices. And that thought crossed my mind. I thought that would be a really good idea to present to these young people. So I read the last part of chapter 10. And I think they were all a little surprised, sitting here with a bunch of college students, and I'm reading about Martha and Mary, and Martha serving Jesus, and Mary sitting at his feet, and they're probably thinking, how does this apply to us? But what I wanted to do with that is an idea about making good choices or making better choices. What is the best choice we can make? I think a lot of times when we think about this idea, or we think about making choices as Christians, it often comes down to, are we making a good choice or a bad choice? But in reality, those are fairly easy. It's not that complicated to understand the difference between good and bad. Adultery, bad. Faithfulness to your spouse, good. Lying, bad. Honesty, good. We can understand all those things. They're not complicated. That has to do with us deciding we're going to do what's right. But what's a lot more complicated is what we see here in this scenario, which is really in the context of the latter part of chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan, and also Martha and Mary. And yes, those stories go together, and that's why Luke places them together. And I want us to see that as we're going through this sermon this morning, this idea of wisdom and making good choices, or maybe even the idea of letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, as we talked about earlier today, that when we become like Christ, when we're developing ourselves and becoming a new person, that has an influence on the kind of choices that we are making. But it's not always so easy. Sometimes it gets a little bit complex or difficult to understand what is the right decision in this situation. And really, that is the difference between the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells and then this encounter with Martha and Mary. The situations were a little bit different, and so because of that, they dictated different responses. And that's why Jesus gives the response he does to Martha. And that's why he tells the story the way he does when he looks at the story of the Good Samaritan. I want us to think a little bit, though, about this idea of trying to make the best decision. Because there's a lot of really good things that we can do out there. It's really good to have a good job. It's really good to go to school and go to college. I've done some of that. I think it's a great thing. I've really enjoyed it. It's really good to have hobbies that we enjoy. It's great to have nice things in life. And so none of those things in and of themselves are bad or evil or wicked. And I think all of us here have some of those things or participate in those things. And so we would understand that we're not going to say that's wrong or you shouldn't do that. But sometimes it is a situation that dictates the choice that we make about what is best. And I think that's the issue here with Martha. Jesus comes into her house, and as I think a woman would typically do, she realizes that it's really important to take care of somebody. I know not too long ago, Jeff preached on hospitality. It's a very important issue, something that's really important even in the ancient world, that it was vital to life. Sometimes a stranger comes through, they need a place to stay. And you see this in the Old Testament text a couple different times, where they're inviting someone to their house. In fact, they're trying to get them out of danger. They're being hospitable. They want to bring them into their home, and that's really important. And Martha understands the importance of that, and that's what she's trying to accomplish here. And it is interesting, if you're looking at that story in its full context, and you go back to read the story of the Good Samaritan, as we just did, that you realize that the big point of the story of the Good Samaritan is that we should be serving others, that we should be, in some sense, hospitable. He's putting him up in an inn. He's taking care of him. He's binding his wounds. And for that, Jesus is praising this mentality, this idea. And yet, in the other side of that, the priest and the Levite, who we would expect to be the ones to stop and to help, and they had something else going on. We'll talk about this in just a minute. But for some reason, they're not stopping to help this man who's lying here half dead. Why is that? Is it just because they're heartless individuals who just don't care about people? And so they said, well, I'm just going to stay as far away from this guy as I possibly can. I don't really care if someone dies. I just want to get on my way. I don't know. I think maybe we are a little bit too harsh on these two men, this proverbial men here in this story, about what Jesus is trying to accomplish here. I think it might have a lot more to do with what's going to happen here in the next text with Martha and Mary and making good decisions and thinking through situations well and using wisdom. All too often, this text is relegated to just women's Bible studies, and it's not really dealt with in its fullness and the completion of how it can be applied to all of us. And that's what I want us to do for a few minutes this morning. I want to understand what it is that's causing Martha to be missing the good part, to be making what is the lesser of the two decisions, where she could have been sitting and listening to Jesus, listening to the Word of God being presented in her home, and yet she's busying herself with various other activities. Not only that, but wanting Martha to do the very same thing. She's trying to pull her out of the situation, which we ultimately know in hindsight, because Jesus tells us, was the better choice. And yet Martha's trying to take her sister and get her out of that situation to what she thinks is something more important. So I want us to think this morning, am I missing the good portion? I want us to ask ourselves, in my life and the decisions that I'm making day to day, am I missing something that is better just because I'm doing something that's good? Am I justifying what I'm doing as good even though I'm missing something that's so much better? It's an important question. The good and the bad, we need to talk about that. That's important. We need to be encouraged to make the good choices instead of the bad choices. But the reality is, anyone who could understand the words I'm speaking this morning, for the most part, knows what those choices are. It comes down to being convicted and committed to making them. But this is a little bit different. That this takes a little bit of depth, a little bit of thought and consideration about what is most important in my life, because there are some good things out there, but they might not be the best thing in the moment. What is it that's causing Martha to have trouble? Well, the text is pretty plain about what's going on here. Is Luke is filling us in, or Jesus, through his dialogue, is telling us what's happening in this situation, that Mary is here sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to these words of wisdom, the power of God. People are astonished at Jesus' teaching. He has much more authority than the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers of the people. And Mary's recognizing that. She's sitting and she's listening to what Jesus has to say. And Martha is all over the place doing all the things that need to be done. She's busying herself with serving and she is distracted, the text tells us. Luke in his narration says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, we could limit this and just talk about how women will get busy serving around the house, and maybe they're missing the hospitality nature of talking to people and visiting with people and the personal relationships, and we could go down that road, but I think that's been done plenty of times. I want us to go down different roads and think about maybe how I can be distracted in my life as a man, or maybe as a child, or as a woman in another setting, that we work jobs, we go to school, we play, we even are involved with things like technology. Anybody been surfing Facebook this morning during the service? You've been distracted at all? Maybe an email popped up in your notification or a score on ESPN, and maybe you're in the middle of the Lord's Supper and something pops up and you kind of glance at it for a minute. That's distraction. These things apply much more than just what goes on in the home. And while in some sense that's really relatively minor compared to a lot of other things in life, it is just a reality that we can be very easily and quickly distracted by things in life that really aren't as important as something else that we should be doing. And so, fathers, maybe we are distracted so much by our job, by working overtime, by spending all kinds of time trying to make more money for our family and to try to provide for our family and give them the best things that we can give them. And yet, all the while, we're missing out on something that is so much better, whether it's time with our family or time with our spiritual family. What is the best decision in that moment? Yes, we have to work. We're told we should work hard. That is biblical. It's scriptural. It's good. But maybe in the situation, might not be the best decision. Well, here's a hard one. What about with school? I know when I was growing up in my home, there were times, really few times, because it just did not work, where I had a lot of things to do for school, and I've got so much to do, Mom. I need to do my schoolwork. And we got a gospel meeting going on, or it's Wednesday night, Bible study. And she said, well, how long have you known about that assignment? A couple weeks. Well, maybe you need to just skip baseball practice today. I don't want to do that. And we begin to see really quickly what is truly important to us in our life. I didn't want to miss baseball practice. I'd known about it for quite some time. And so, really, I was just busying myself with some other things, even though that was pretty important. My mom thought schooling was important, too. But she said, you know what? You know, it's more important than that as being with brethren. That is doing something that is much more vital with our family, if we're going out as a family. You can do that later. You should have known to take care of that before this moment when something else that is much more important is going on. I'll tell you one thing that is a struggle for many people today, and the statistics back this up, is that is in your workplace. Work is important, but you know it's not important? And that is surfing around on the internet doing worthless things that take away from your productivity. And these things are important. We try to draw lines sometimes between secular and spiritual. You know, this is part of my secular life. Well, you know, the Bible does say to work hard with our hands, to be diligent. And there is an attitude and the demeanor that goes into that that's really important, that's really vital, that our employers, they need to see that we approach this as if we are working for Christ. That's what the Bible says. And yet people very often are making decisions that don't reflect that. Hours and hours being wasted on things that have nothing to do with what's supposed to be done in that moment. There's all kinds of studies being done about that in the workplace. We understand this in a very materialistic sort of way, things like our jobs. What is most vital to us in the moment? Distraction is a big problem. In fact, Jesus talks about this in the parable of the sower, doesn't he? And when they're sown among the thorns, you remember what he says about that in Mark chapter 4? They get sown among the thorns, they begin to grow up, and the thorns come up around them. He says, the cares of the world, those are distractions. That's being pulled away by things that aren't as important. Yeah, I know being with some Christians in their home, that's really important, but I've got to go do this other thing. I've got to go check on a field. Remember Jesus tells that story? I've got to go check on these new livestock I just bought. I've just been married, and so I've got to go. He tells the same sorts of stories about what is most important in life. And so often we get those things crossed. And so at moments when we think work is most important, it's really family. And at moments when we think surfing the internet is most important, it's really our work. And so things get all mixed up and twisted. And what we're trying to see here in Martha and Mary is Jesus expects us to use our minds, to use the gift that God has given us with wisdom and make the best decision we can make in the moment. These proverbial men, the Levite and the priest, they make that very mistake. I don't think they're so evil as they're often portrayed to be. It's likely that they're concerned with purity, which is often the case with the Pharisees and with some of these other leaders of the people. They're very concerned with purity. They're a purity group. And so a lot of what they do has to do with trying to be pure before God. And they've made some mistakes along those lines, and they went down some wrong roads in doing so, but that's often their focus. And it's likely maybe that these men are going to do something in the temple. They have some type of service. And it could even be that going to a Bible study could be the wrong decision in the moment. I spent 2 weeks in Romania not that long ago. I think it would have been a mistake for me to fly home, get off the airplane, drive straight to someone's house from church, and go to a Bible study and not go see my family. That is not the best decision in that moment. We have to be wise in the things we do and understand what is most important in the moment. Just take some thought. But sometimes we want something else to be the most important thing. Or sometimes we think something else is the most important thing. And I believe that's what's happening here with Mary. It is Martha. It is likely her home. And she is very committed to this home. She wants to be thought of well. And so she's trying to bring Jesus in and serve him like he ought to be served. And she's very concerned with that. And what Jesus is ultimately going to tell her is, you have missed what is most important because you're concerned with something that is less important. Jesus was going to be taken care of. His disciples, whoever was with him, they were going to be taken care of. Martha didn't have to be running all over the house while Jesus is speaking, taking care of all those sorts of things. It was going to happen at some point and in some way. What was most important in that moment was for her to focus on what was happening with Jesus. But I think really this is something that we understand to some degree already. But what I see a lot more in our society is this next issue that Martha has, and that is this concept of being a victim, of the self-pity that she has in this situation. When she begins this dialogue with Jesus, she's very distracted with what she's doing, and she comes up to Jesus. Can you imagine this? Let's just stop and think about this for a minute. Jesus Christ is in your home, the Messiah. And he's here speaking, and in that moment, Martha thinks the most important thing to do is to walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, Mary is not here serving with me. Can you believe that? Go tell her to come help me. Well, there's some patterns here to what's going on in the Gospel of Luke, because not that long after this, in chapter 12, you see a very similar situation where Jesus is teaching, and this man walks up and he says, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. And Jesus reacts by telling the parable of the rich fool. And he says, I'm not an arbitrator over your earthly things. That's not what I'm concerned about. What I'm really concerned about are spiritual matters. I'm not here to settle your disputes about financial matters. And Martha, I'm not here to make your sister go help you serve. That's not what is most important in the matter. And for that fact, I'm here speaking the word of God. And what you are concerned with in interrupting me is trying to get your sister to help me. Do we not see how ridiculous that is? And yet, I assure you, in my life, I've done many things that are just as ridiculous as that because I thought something else was more important than what was truly important. And in that moment, I am not thinking clearly, I'm not thinking reasonably, and I believe that my work or that something else is much more important than in reality it really is. That's what's happening here with Martha. Maybe it's our hobbies. I love my hobbies. I love golf. I play golf a lot. You can just ask my wife. It's a lot of fun. And she'd probably tell you that I think it's more important than it really is sometimes. And that is a danger. We're not allowing our hobbies or things that we just like to do on the side to take precedence over things that are truly important, like our family. That's really important, making sure that we are leading our family the way that we need to, men. That is our job. That's what we are told to do in Scripture. That we are to nurture, we are to admonition our children, we are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to train them correctly. And if I'm spending all my time out on the boat or out on the golf course or doing all kinds of other activities and not with my children, that's really hard to do. It might seem important to me in that moment when I'm thinking irrationally. And like I said, those things are good. Remember, we're talking about things that are good and things that are better. Fishing is not bad. Golf is not bad. Wives might think that's not true, but it is not true. Those things are good. They can be good things, and they can develop relationships with people, and there are good things about them, but they're not always the best thing. And so sometimes we can be distracted by things that just aren't that important. And then we get this pity. Do you not care? Jesus, Martha says, don't you care what I'm going through? Hey, don't you care that I'm the one doing all the work around here and Mary's just sitting there doing nothing? Can't you see that she should be getting up and helping me do what I'm doing? And so she begins in this spiral of self-pity and victimization and thinking that everyone is against her and she's having to do all the work. And so she begins to disengage from the situation and not realize what is most vital in that moment, which are the words of Jesus. And not only is she not doing it, now she wants to pull Mary away from it. Do we not see that in life sometimes? Not only do people not see rationally what is most important in their life, then they're also trying to pull other people away from what is most important. That's what Martha's doing here to Mary. Trying to make her feel bad about making the best choice. Well, you have a commitment. How can you go to church? You've already committed to band, or you've already committed to this or to that, and they're trying to convince you that you should not be doing what is most important. There are things that are good, and there are things that are better. It would have been a lot better for the priest and the Levite, rather than trying to maintain their purity, to help this half-dead man on the side of the road. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. Purity is good. Being ceremonial clean, that was really important. And the Bible says it was important in Judaism, in the old law. That was not something to take lightly. But in this moment, what was most important was to help this person who needed help. That's complex. And thinking about this last night, I thought, you know, we think it's so easy as we're reading this text. We look back at this and we say, the priest and the Levite, what are they thinking? They should have stopped and helped this person. This is so obvious. But you know what? You think about it. On my way to services here this morning, what if I saw an accident in front of me and somebody needed help and we are 10 minutes away from the building and we're 15 minutes from start time and I'm supposed to be up here speaking? What am I going to do? If I stop, that's probably going to take an hour. Maybe more, depending on the situation. It's going to interrupt what I have planned for the day. And something that is important, something that's important to me, something that is good, something we have planned to do. But what is most important in the moment? Helping a fellow man? Or walking by on the other side? Now, I understand that things are a little bit different today. In Tennessee, we have what's called TDOT. They'll just drive right up. Someone's out of gas, or have a flat tire, or an accident, or whatever it is. They'll come help them, and you really just kind of get in the way sometimes if you stop. And so I understand our situation's somewhat different than what's going on here, where this is an absolute necessity that someone stop and help you up, because that's not going to happen by some official or government thing. But we have decisions like this to make on a regular basis, deciding what is good and what is better. And it does us no good to get in the cycle of self-pity. Well, nobody else understands what I'm going through. No one knows what I have to deal with. My concerns should be other people's concerns. That's really what that is. The things I'm dealing with, everybody else should understand that my things are just harder than theirs. Doesn't Mary see that? She's sitting here, she's not doing anything, and I'm having to do all the hard work. And doesn't Jesus see that? That's what Martha's thinking. But what she failed to realize is that her concerns may not have been the greatest of importance in the moment. Whether all the food was aligned just right, or the baseboards and the floors were swept and clean, none of those things were as important as sitting and listening to Jesus. In the moment, it might seem like that extra bonus or overtime is so important for our Christmas presents or our vacation or whatever else it is we have concocted in our mind that is so valuable and important. But what is most important maybe in that moment is that we're sitting with our family eating dinner. Or that we're reading our child's Bible lesson. And you think, well, these things, they seem so small. They seem so insignificant. You know, we read the Bible lesson with them. We do that. What is most important in the moment? Again, it's not wrong to work overtime sometimes. It's not wrong to work on a project and have to stay late. Those things happen. We all understand that. But if that is becoming a pattern in our life and we think this is the most important thing in my life, we have missed it. Just like Martha has missed it in this moment. And sometimes these situations never come back again. I don't know if this ever happened again where Jesus is sitting here in Martha's home speaking to a group of people. It may have. But that's a rather unique situation. To have the Son of God in your house speaking to people God's word. I think the dishes could have gone undone. And the food could have gone unserved. I think the work could be left for some other time. Or the play could be left for some other time. And for what is more important in life. And certainly this victimized idea that nobody understands what I'm going through. That is just so untrue. You see it a lot. I'm not going to get into this a lot this morning. But you see a lot with parents too. That nobody understands my child. Nobody understands. Yes, all parents have struggles. All children have problems. And while there are some unique situations here or there, for the most part, we are dealing with the same sorts of things. People get sick. We have people who die. And I'm not trying to minimize any of these sorts of things. What I'm saying is, it is the human experience. And to have this story I'm telling myself in my mind, that it's just so different from me, it is just irrational and unreasonable. And then Jesus says, you are anxious about many things. There's a lot of things about this story that I just can't imagine myself. I can't imagine in my home, Katie's cleaning and trying to get things ready for people to come over, and I walk up and say, Katie, you are just anxious and worried about so many things. Can you imagine saying that, man? I don't think it'd go very well. I don't want to see what would happen in that situation. And I don't think Jesus is in that same sort of situation here. It is important that we present ourselves well, and we do that. And he's not trying to say that's not the case. But it is striking to me the way he responds to her. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. She's just trying to get him some food and his disciples. But you know what? Jesus understood. There's some things that are a lot more important than that. And that's where he goes next with this. She just has a lack of perspective. Sometimes we allow distraction. Sometimes we allow worry to get in the way of really seeing things clearly. And that's what Jesus, and that's what Luke, as he's telling the story in his gospel, is trying to emphasize. That is the lack of perspective that humans so often have when we're living our life, when we're seeing things happening around us, and we're making choices, and we're deciding to do things that are not the most important thing in the moment, like the priest and the Levite, or Martha, and we're deciding to do things that aren't the best thing, and we're sacrificing so much for something that might be good, but it's just not the best in the moment. He says that's a lack of perspective because one thing is necessary. That is a powerful statement. He says you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary, who's sitting here not doing anything, she has chosen the better portion. And Martha, you've missed it. That's what Jesus is saying. You thought your job was so important, or you thought school was so important, getting your degree was so valuable, but you know what? There is one thing that's necessary. Those things are good. But you can be the smartest person on the face of the planet with all the advanced degrees you can ever imagine, and if you don't have a right relationship with God, it means absolutely nothing. You can have the greatest job in the world, you can be wealthy beyond our imagination, but if you are not right with God, it doesn't mean anything. And if we're not directing our families in the same direction, we are sacrificing so much. And yes, you can have the cleanest house in the brotherhood, but if no one ever sees it, if you never spend time with people, what value is it? There are all kinds of applications we can make from this text, but the real point here is that there's one thing that really matters, and that is seeking first the kingdom of heaven. That's how Jesus says it in his own words. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things, they'll be added to you. All these things that we think are so important that we do in life, they're going to take care of themselves. And in fact, he goes on to talk about that. He says, let each day's trouble take care of its own thing. You just don't worry about all these problems in the future. You seek first the kingdom of God. All the Gentiles, all the pagans, they worry about those kind of things. And they did in a very real way. They're offering sacrifices. They're going through all these rituals to try to appease their gods to make sure everything happened just right. And he's saying, you don't do that. You don't need to do that. God knows what you need before you do. So he tells them in the context. And the one thing that is necessary, the good portion, is this. This is the good portion. Being with the people of God. Commemorating the Lord's death for our sins. That is the good portion. Singing together. Praying together. Spending time with our family together. Being with our family in the study of the Word of God. That is the good portion. That's what is most important in life. And so if we have to skip a promotion, men, because we know it's best for our family and best for our spiritual life and the life of our family, so be it. If we have to take an extra semester in school because we can't handle that much and keep our life on track spiritually, so be it. Because the proper perspective is that there is one thing that is necessary. If you are not a Christian this morning, if you're not in Christ, if you've not been delivered from the power of darkness and placed in the kingdom of God's Son, then right now in this moment, the most important thing for you to do is to make that decision. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that his blood was shed, that that was done for the sins of the whole world? If you believe that, it's time to act upon it. Nothing else that you do today can be any more important than that decision. Then decide you're going to do what Scripture says by the will of God, and that is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and he'll remember them no more. You come up out of the water, you are a new person. You have been cleansed. You have been sanctified and justified from all of the things you've done in your past life. That is the most vital thing right now. There might be someone here that needs to do that, and we appeal to you to do so. We're ready. We help you begin this journey to do the will of God. And if you are a Christian already, you've already given your life to God, and you realize there's been some decisions you've been making. Maybe some of them are even good, but they're not the best thing you need to be doing. Change them. You don't necessarily have to walk to the front of this building and admit it to everybody. It might be that you can just get in the privacy of your own home and pray to God, ask for forgiveness, and say, I want to do better. I want to be recommitted in my life to you. Do it. There's no reason to wait. Can we help you? Why don't you come as we sing together?
Oh,